following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
We are in a series right now on following Jesus. And in this series, we realize that Jesus spoke so much about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He used these terms synonymously. He spoke so much about it. In fact, that was the focus message of what he taught on all the parables. All of them are about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven's like this. The kingdom of God is like this. And he keeps going on and on for 3 years about the kingdom of God. Since it's a big thing to Jesus, we want it to be a big thing to us, that we understand it. And we not only understand it, but we really explore it. Matthew's gospel uses the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven 55 times because he's trying to be so clear that we understand, the believers understand the magnitude of what Jesus was focused about. Even when Jesus rose from the dead, if you read, he taught about the kingdom of God. So for 3 years, and even after he rose, he's talking about the kingdom of God. It matters a lot. I would definitely say we have to explore it. Do we have any explorers in the room this morning? How many people would say they're not an explorer? How many are explorers? Okay, we got different, that's okay, different tastes, you know. Back in the old days when they said, hey, go west, young man, you know, opportunity. Some people said, charge, let's go find out what's out there. And other people are like, nope, I'm staying right here in the city you are. You know, we have different styles, different personalities. But here's the thing, you got to explore. You got to explore to some capacity. The kingdom of God needs to be explored. Years ago when Christy and I went on our honeymoon, we went to Maui. And Maui's amazing if you haven't been there. And we had a nice hotel room and the beach was right there, you know, a little balcony. And so we're really enjoying this time out there. And then we figured, well, let's explore it. If we want to really experience this place, we have to explore it further. So we ended up going snorkeling. And when we went snorkeling, it's phenomenal. If you haven't been down there doing this, you need to. But you're snorkeling and this water is crystal clear and there's fish all around you, every kind of color. It's amazing. So there's fish everywhere. And we came back with the experience saying, wow, there's a lot more to see than what meets the eye. There's a lot more under the surface than what meets the eye. And you have to explore it in order to appreciate it. There are many people looking at the beach who do not know the beauty that lies underneath because they have not explored it. But you have to explore it if you want to fully experience it. Later on our trip, we were told about some ancient active volcano and going up and looking at an active volcano. Now, that sounds a little crazy, but we figured, let's go try this. We want to explore the island. So we end up going on this bus. They load this bus with mountain bikes, and they take you way up in the middle of the night. They bring you all the way up to the top of this active volcano, and you go up there, and you look at this, and you experience this before the sun comes up. And you're up there just on top of the world, active volcano, sun coming up, absolutely amazing. It's mesmerizing. We realize there's more to see than what meets the eye, and there was a more above the surface, sometimes it's more below the surface, but there's simply more out there available to us if we're willing to explore it. I would say the same is true with the kingdom of God. If we're willing to explore what Jesus invites us to explore, when he brought 12 apostles and he sent out the 70, and later on we see the upper room and we look at the whole narrative of scripture of Christ followers, they began to understand and explore the kingdom in all these new dimensions. And that's what I hope we can do. I just want to recap last week really quick because we talked a little about the kingdom and then we're going to build from there. A quick recap from last week that we said about the kingdom. Simply put, the kingdom, a simple definition, what is the kingdom of God? If you ask many adults and you said, excuse me, on the street, tell me what is the kingdom of God? The normal answer you would get is, I think it's heaven. I think it's heaven. That's probably the popular answer that you would get. And that's only half true. It's heaven then and here now. It's heaven then and here now. The kingdom of God is the realm of God. It's the rule of God. It's the reign of God. And whoever enters into it begins to participate in it, gets to experience and explore it. And the beauty is this: the day you enter in the kingdom, you're already in the kingdom. It's here and not yet at the same time. Does that make sense? It's already here, and it's also not yet at the same time. When you enter the kingdom, through Jesus, you get the privileges and benefits of a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom. And yet, the full beauty and ramification is going to come when we see him face to face. The kingdom is already, and it's not yet. The other thing we learned about the kingdom is that as citizens of the kingdom, Jesus, and we went over this in detail last week, Jesus gives us this prerequisite. He says, if you want to experience the kingdom, pray like this. You want to see the kingdom? Do this. Pray like this. Pray, Father, your kingdom come and your will be done. We want your kingdom to come. We're going to be talking about that more today. How does the kingdom come? But God, we want your kingdom to come on earth just the way it is in heaven. And that's a pretty profound statement because you think of the way things go in heaven and the way things go on earth, and they're not the same. Would you agree? Okay, that's why we pray for the kingdom to come. And we're going to talk about today how the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. But he told us we can pray for the kingdom to come, and we can pray, he said, to deliver us from evil. So you and I, as citizens of the kingdom, can push and pull things in the spiritual realm. We can pray for heaven to come and for hell to go. Does that make sense? It's important because a lot of even believers don't walk around in this realm. This is the realm that we're in. The realm of the kingdom is God's rule and reign. And if you're in it, you got to understand the magnitude of how you can participate in the kingdom of God, because these are the things available in the New Testament for the believers, and we see practice in the New Testament church. The last thing we said last week, quick recap, the last thing we said is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, has always, always, always been about inclusion. It's always been about inclusion. When you hear the parables, Jesus is offering, come to my banquet, and people are like, no, I'm too busy. And Jesus says, well, go further, go to the next level, invite more people, and some are too busy. And he said, just go out and invite anyone you can, because God loves the whole world. He wishes that none should perish and all come to a saving knowledge of his grace. Everyone you can, everyone out there, everyone on the planet he loves, everyone with a pulse, please invite them into my kingdom. That's the narrative of the parables and the New Testament. The kingdom of God is inclusive. The kingdom of God wasn't saying, I came for you, the rest of you, don't even ask me. We don't see that mindset anywhere. It's always inclusion. And that's important because I would suggest to you this morning, and if there's only one thing you get today, understand this. If you want to participate in the kingdom of God, you have to understand that it's about inclusion, because this is where God's going to meet you. God is going to meet you powerfully if you understand the kingdom is about inclusion. We're going to see in a minute, God's working on people out there. And if you and I are working with God on helping people see and understand and recognize and walking the kingdom, you're going to experience things about the kingdom you haven't quite seen. You're going to have some great things to celebrate. You're going to have some stories to tell. Some people, unfortunately, they look at their faith as just personal, just me and God. My prayer for my stuff, my salvation, my walk with God, just me. And that's like this little slice of the kingdom. This is having salvation now and going to get to realize it when you finally get to heaven. But there's all this in between about the spiritual realm, the pushing and pulling, the inclusion of those who are invited, and God partnering with you and I, just like he did the early apostles. Why do you think he sat down with the disciples? Disciple, by definition, is a trainer who teaches the trainee, follow me, do what I do. Learn what I'm saying so that you can do what I do. Emulate me. He teaches them for 3 long years about the kingdom of God. He even sent them out to practice it. Now that you've learned it, go practice it. And they would come back doing jumping jacks, going, it was awesome. We practiced the kingdom. It was so cool. And so this thing about the kingdom is not just learning it. It's actually taking hold in our hearts. So real quick, the setup is this. In Jesus' time, when he's walking on earth down here, he came at a time there hasn't been a prophet in 400 years. Israel's been waiting for Messiah. John the Baptist comes on the scene and announces, here he is. Here's the Lamb of God. Messiah is here. So we're in a whole new realm, a whole new time. The kingdom of God is present. People are following him. He's healing the sick. He's doing miracles. He's raising the dead. And all of a sudden, crowds are gathering, even the religious leaders. But the mindset of Israel, this is important, the mindset of people who lived in Israel was simply that King David had a kingdom, but right now Israel is under Roman rule. They are in an occupied land. They don't have the freedoms they used to have. They don't have the influence. They don't have a kingdom anymore. Their kingdom is abolished. It's diminished. And so Rome now has the kingdom. And Israel's waiting someday, God promised this kingdom. And in their mind, their mindset was that it was going to be a cataclysmic event. Something explosive was going to happen. Rome was going to get knocked down. Israel was going to rule. And it was going to be some profound thing. Now what's going on is Jesus fulfills all 365 prophecies about the Messiah. He fulfills them. People are gathered around him. He's doing what only the Son of God can do. And as this is happening, the religious leaders are like, this is kind of crazy. We don't understand this. We didn't authorize him. We didn't send this guy. He's doing these things. And in this scene right here, a Pharisee walks up and asks him a question, trying to understand what is going on right here. And this is what happens in Matthew 12, 28. You don't have to turn there. We have them for up here if you'd like to look. Jesus is doing these miracles, including casting out demons. And people are like, wow, who is this guy, this teacher, this prophet, this miracle worker, who is taking authority over the entire dark realm and just throwing it everywhere? You. And they're like, what is going on here? And this is the scene where they come up, and it says in Matthew 12, 28, they asked Jesus, well, how you doing this? What's going on here with this whole throwing the demonic realm around? And Jesus says this. He says, but if I do it, he's saying, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Say upon you. The kingdom has come upon you. This is important. King James Version, if you have that, it says the kingdom of God is in you, but it's actually in the Greek, kingdom of God has come upon you. When I came, when Jesus is saying, I brought the full authority of heaven with me. This is important. This is the kingdom of God. When I came, God in flesh, Emmanuel, remember Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies? One of the prophecies that his name will be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. It doesn't mean God's servant. It doesn't just mean God's messenger, God's miracle worker. It means God with us. When Jesus came, the Son of God, born in a manger, God walked on earth. God became flesh. It's called the incarnation. He took on flesh and lived among us. And even when he was born in the manger, the foreign kings came and they bowed with gifts and they worshiped him. And what they said they were doing is Israel's king is finally here. That's why they went on the journey, because Israel's king was here. The kingdom is finally here. They even acknowledged it from long away. They came and they did this. And as Jesus is doing the miracles, they're like, how do you do this? What's going on? And Jesus is saying, if what you're seeing me do right here is evidence that the kingdom has come upon you. The kingdom is upon you. He commanded devils to flee. He told hell it had to leave, because he brought the full authority of heaven with them. So if you're a note taker, I encourage you to write some of these down. You can talk about them later or unpack them later, but this is important to get a grasp of the kingdom for you and for those you love that you would like to see in the kingdom. And so the first one is that the kingdom comes through Jesus alone. The kingdom comes through Jesus alone. He even shared parables about others who tried to jump over the sheep gate and try to come in over a wall. He talks about, and he's like, the only way. He's like, I am the way and the truth and the life. And there is no other way to the Father but through me. It's an absolute claim. No one dares make such a claim in history. Buddha, Gandhi, Krishna, none of these guys said that. None of these guys ever said, I'm the only one who could take away the sins of the world. I'm the only way to the Father. He's got these bold and powerful absolute claims, but he also functioned in the authority of heaven to prove it. And when he did these things, he said, I am doing these. And when you see it done, you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. It's right with you. What are you going to do now? It's pretty amazing. It's come to us. So the kingdom comes through Jesus. But here's the deal. Not everybody sees it, because God's kingdom is a realm. Remember that? It's a rule of God, the reign of God, the realm of God that Jesus brings, but not everyone even sees it to get into it. Have you ever shared faith with somebody and you wonder why they don't see it? Show of hands. You wonder, why don't they see it? It's the realm of God. It's the real, don't you get it? And they're not getting it. How come some people don't see it? How are we going to pray your kingdom come when some people don't even see it? They don't even get it. Here's why. John 6:44. We have it for up here. Jesus says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Say draws them. Draws them. Unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. He's talking about coming to me right now, and he's talking about the last day. He's talking about here, and he's talking about later. The kingdom is already, and it's not yet. It's both at the same time. And in this statement, he's talking about who gets in and the full culmination. And he's saying, now and on the last day. But he's saying the way it's going to happen, the way they get in the kingdom, Jesus is the way to the kingdom, but the only way is the Father draws them. The Father draws them. Now, what's interesting about this, when we pray for people, we don't often pray, Father, draw them. Would you say that with me? Father, draw them. One more time. Father, draw them. Father, draw them. Because this is the way they come to Jesus. No one can come unless the Father draws them. So I know I've prayed for circumstances in people's life. I've prayed, Lord, you know, help this or do that. But the scripture is saying, ask the Father to just start drawing them. Because when you look back at your life, you might remember the time where you started to walk in faith and you realized the Father started to draw you. Anybody? Anybody get that sense where all of a sudden there was a draw and the draw wasn't there earlier? But all of a sudden, the draw is there now. And the Father's got this way of drawing us. We know through Scripture, he does this by the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to counsel us. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and righteousness. So when we're living out there in the world and we're living, you know, the wrong way, all of a sudden, the pull, the draw starts to be by the Spirit start to show us, hey, guess what? That's sin. Even though you've been doing it a long time, it's sin. And this, by the way, this is right. This is righteous. And a year earlier, we didn't even know, or maybe we didn't even care. And now as the Father's drawing us, we're like, oh, yeah, that's wrong. I think it needs to go. This is right. I need to pursue this. The Father is drawing us, and the Spirit of God is pulling us into the realm of God. We are being pulled from the worldly realm into the realm of God, even though our feet are still walking on this planet for many years and breathing the air. We enter another realm, the realm, really the realm of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's a miracle. I think it's a full-on miracle how God begins to draw people. It's amazing because you can see some of the least likely people, the least likely candidates to ever be in the faith. And Jesus is like, oh, you don't understand. The kingdom is about inclusion. And doesn't matter how messed up anybody is or what they've done or where they've been, I love them. I love them. It doesn't matter who they are or where they've been. I love them. And the miracle is that God begins to draw. And it's just beautiful to see the miracle, the waking up to coming into their identity of who God called them to be. So this realm, we're being called from a worldly realm into the realm, really, of the Holy Spirit, into the realm of God, into the realm where the Spirit begins to lead and guide us, and that's absolutely amazing. So the second point, if you're a note taker, is this. The kingdom comes as we are drawn into the realm of the Holy Spirit. We're literally begin to get drawn. Now, you and I have to choose. But God's drawing is clearly there. He's pulling us this way. He's not forcing us. And we can either pull back, because I know I did that for a while. Anybody else do that? Anybody pull back for a while? Yeah, you pull back for a while. So even though he's drawing, sometimes we do that. Have you ever walked a dog? Some dogs, you know, they want to go their own way, but some dogs, you pull them and they pull back. Have you ever seen that? You know, you go to pull the dog and they pull back. I was kind of like that. I felt the realm, God's realm, he was drawing me and I was pulling back. And then finally you have to realize, who are you fighting? Who are you fighting? You know, when Saul tried to fight God, God told him, Saul, why are you kicking back against me? You can't win. I love you too much. Why are you kicking back against me? And some people do that. They pull back. When God's drawing, they pull back and finally go, what am I doing? God, you love me. You made me. You know what's best for me. I already know. I already know what the old life is, and there's nothing there for me. What am I doing? And as soon as we go with God's drawing, we enter this realm of the Holy Spirit. So that's really awesome. So the realms are interesting. Realms are, and that's why we have to explore the realm of the kingdom. You know, many years ago, I used to skydive. And, you know, you go up a couple miles in a plane and you swan dive out into nothing. But, you know, if you're trying to tell somebody what that realm is like, what's it like up there in a plane at 2 miles up when the wind is going and your lips are like, blah, 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 you know, like a dog hanging out the window? Blah, 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 blah. What's it like to have your feet blowing out of a plane at 2 miles up? You know, it's kind of hard to explain. You know, if you're up in that realm, it's like, well, it's windy and it's noisy and, you know, your feet are blowing and, you know, you're getting ready to jump out and you look down and a tree looks like a little dot. You can't really tell anything. And, you know, it's a weird, like, you know, feeling. Make sure you're right with God before you go. You know, there's all these things you want to do, but you can't really understand the realm when you jump out and go 120 miles an hour in about 4 seconds. That's how fast you start dropping. And then when the chute opens up, you're down to like 10 or 15 miles an hour, you know, or 20. You slow down dramatically, and then you experience the world from this view. How do you really, really explain that realm? You got to experience it to really know that realm. It's a whole different realm up there. And you guys had that same thing when you were being drawn from the world and into relationship with God. You were changing realms. You were changing realms. You came from a world where you were searching, you were looking, and you weren't satisfied, you weren't full, and you weren't walking in truth, and God started to draw you, and you begin to realize God's way is your best way. God's way is your best way. You don't have an alternative. There is no other way. There's nothing out there better than God's way. His realm is the best realm. Coming under his rule, his reign is the ultimate thing. And when you start to come in, you change realms. And that's why when you came to faith, you knew when you woke up one day, you're like, and people might have even said, you're different. Has anybody ever said you were different? You're different. What happened? You're still walking on earth. You're still wearing the same clothes you wore last week. You're having the same breakfast, breathing the same air, working at the same place. You're in the same family. They're looking at you going, I don't know, there's something different. I entered God's realm. I came into the realm of his kingdom. I came under his rule and reign through Jesus. I'm living in a different space now, but because you're in this, you have the peace of God. You have eternal security. You have the present leading of his Holy Spirit here now. You've got the power, whether you know it or not, to begin to pray and push and pull things. You're in this whole new space. And people might see you and they don't really know what it is, but you have entered the realm of the Holy Spirit. You have entered the kingdom of God. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. So our main text today I'd like to look at is Romans 17, if we can put this up here. The setup is this. Israel, again, they're expecting a cataclysmic event. They're expecting some. If Jesus really is the Messiah, things ought to be blowing up around here in the air and the sky, and Rome needs to fall down. And that's not happening yet. And so there's a little confusion, at least with some people in their mindset. If this is the Messiah, why is Rome still occupying? Even some of the apostles were asking Jesus that. When are we going to finally do this full thing? I know you're raising the dead and you're healing the sick, but when are we going to deal with those guys? And Jesus is like, look, it's not that kind of war. He even told Pilate the same thing. So anyway, Luke 17, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is in your midst. This is the one where the King James says the kingdom of God is in you, but all other translations say in your midst. The Greek word is entos, and the word actually means surrounding you, all around you. It's in your midst. You can just reach out and touch it. The kingdom of God is all around you. It's not in you. He was talking to people who were not in the faith yet, and he was talking to people who were not, the cross didn't happen yet. And so the point is the kingdom wasn't in. New Agers can get a hold of something like that and say, oh, the kingdom's in everybody. Actually, no. The kingdom is in our midst, and we enter it through Jesus. So this kingdom comes into our midst. And when we, Jesus says, when we go with him, he says, go ye therefore to the ends of the earth, make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. And he says this, And I am going to go with you. I'm going to be with you always. This is cool. So when you and I go with Jesus, Jesus goes with us. When we go, he goes with us. So you and I end up being messengers that we get to carry the kingdom with us. I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself as a carrier of the kingdom, but you are a carrier of the kingdom. God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, you carry it with you. Everywhere you go, if you've said yes to Jesus, if you've entered through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, if you've acknowledged his provision for you, if you're in the faith, if he is your Lord, you have the Spirit of God in you. The kingdom is yours. You're citizens of the kingdom. You carry the kingdom with you. I think this is amazing. You might want to write that down. I am a carrier of the kingdom. Would you say that with me? I am a carrier of the kingdom. Let's say it like you're excited about it. I am a carrier. You carry the kingdom. And you might be the only one in your workplace who carries the kingdom in that place. You might be the only one at the gym or at the mall or at Trader Joe's or on your team or whatever it is in your family. You might be the only one carrying the kingdom. But if you've entered that realm, you bring that realm with you. You bring that realm with you. Fourth point is this morning, and I'm going to hit these ones pretty quickly. The kingdom comes. The kingdom comes. How does the kingdom come? The kingdom comes when we carry it to others. The kingdom comes when we carry it to others. See, sometimes we pray, Lord, I'm just going to step out of the way and be passive here. Let your kingdom come. And God's like, beautiful. Can we work together on this? It says in Romans 10:15, how is anyone even going to know? How are they even going to know about Jesus? How are they even going to know about the kingdom unless somebody goes? He goes on to say, Blessed are the feet that bring the good news. The good news is the gospel. Blessed are the feet that bring the good news of the kingdom. Blessed are the feet that bring the good news of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the feet that bring it. This is really important. So the kingdom comes when we carry it to others. I don't know about you, but somebody, I remember years ago, brought the kingdom to me. I was a little kid, and somebody met me on a bridge and started saying, hey, did you know that, you know, Jesus loves you? And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, but, you know, we all got this sin in our life, and we got to, you know, do you want to pray for him to take away your sin? I'm like, and he's trying to explain the kingdom to me and how it works and how we, and I'm like, that sounds like a good thing you're saying. I don't really understand it all the way, but it sounds good. The point is, when you say yes to Jesus, you begin to get in the kingdom, and then from there, you get to explore it. I don't know about you. I've been in the faith, you know, 25 years. I'm still exploring the kingdom. I don't have this down. I don't think the apostles had it down. The longer they walked with Jesus, I see in Paul's writing, I see he begins to grow in grace and understanding and maturity, and he gets the kingdom more and more and more. The older he gets, I think we get to understand the kingdom and the dimensions of God's ways and what it's like for you and I to interact under the rule of God, under the reign of God, in the realm of heaven, when heaven is pulled down to earth, in dimensions where you and I carry something very, very special, the presence of the Spirit of God in us as Christ followers. You carry the kingdom with you, and the kingdom comes when you bring it to others, when you carry it to others. Matthew 24:24 says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Once again, the kingdom is talking about here and now, that's what's going to happen, and in the future, the end's going to come. And the context of this kingdom, this message of God's kingdom, just as the Lord saying it to you and I, his message of the kingdom has to go to all nations. Can I say the beauty about where God placed you? He placed you in LA in such a time as this. This is one of the few places in the world where you have all nations right on your block. Do you know you have all nations right on your block? Right in your neighborhood now, you have all nations. We have all nations out on the street, everywhere we go, at the gym, at the mall, at Trader Joe's. All nations are everywhere in LA. And so he's saying this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of God's kingdom, the good news, that's what gospel means, the gospel, the good news of God's kingdom, the good news of God's realm, his reign, his oversight, his power, his provision, his sovereignty, his forgiveness, his new beginnings, life in the Holy Spirit. This whole realm of God's kingdom is good news. And there's a lot of good news in that realm. The good news of The good news of the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, and we don't have to pay a price for our sins. We can take his provision for us. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the kingdom has that right smack in the middle, but it's also got these other provisions of the realm of heaven and praying for heaven to come on earth and how you and I carry this message everywhere and the gospel of the kingdom. But this gospel of the kingdom, God's realm, God's ways, God's power, God's authority, how we can come in under it and function in it. This whole message of how God changes people through Jesus, cross is always central. This message of the realm of God, the reign of God, the rule of God, needs to go into the whole world. Needs to go into the whole world. So the fifth point is this. The kingdom comes when people recognize it
and then step into it. Some people recognize it, others don't. Pray for the Father to draw them. Pray that the Father will draw them. When they recognize it, it's their choice. If it's my choice, it was your choice to step in it or not. Some of you might have that choice this morning. You're thinking, I haven't actually fully stepped in. I'm just checking this thing out. I would encourage you, step in, step in, step into the realm of God. My notes up here. The realm of God, the reign of God, step into it. That's the beautiful thing. So the kingdom comes when people recognize it and step into it. That's really, really important. It's kind of like this, guys. There's an on-ramp, like a freeway to God's kingdom. And you and I, we get to be like these ushers that, you know, get to direct people. A lot of ways you can go. Take this one. This on-ramp, it's the Jesus on-ramp. It's the only way to get on that kingdom of heaven. It's the only way to get on God's highway. This is the way. And you and I get to lead people and direct them and point people to Jesus, the on-ramp to the kingdom of God. I think that's a pretty awesome privilege that we get to do. We get to help others recognize it and step in. And I'm just going to give you these last few really quick. I'd encourage you to write them down. These are some really cool points. I've been studying the kingdom for a long time. I love the conversation about the kingdom of God. Jesus spent 3 years talking about it. I figured we had to stop at least a couple of weeks and go big on the kingdom, what it is, what it's not. The kingdom is really, really important. But here's the sixth one. I have 8 points for you this morning. The sixth one is this. The kingdom comes as we minister under the influence of the Holy Spirit. As you and I minister, and I say minister because we minister. The kingdom comes when we minister. Everybody say minister. You are all ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. That's your identity according to the Bible. You might not think you're a minister. God says you are a minister. The kingdom comes to others. We can just pray for it and be passive and sit back and just hope everything happens. Or we can engage God in his word and be ministers of this gospel of reconciliation. The kingdom comes as we minister under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Here's what's amazing, guys. The Holy Spirit is the one the Father is using to draw people. This is important to understand. The Father is drawing people. The Holy Spirit begins working. The Father says, it's time for that one. Go after them now. The Holy Spirit begins drawing them. No one comes to Jesus unless the Spirit draws, right? The Father's drawing them through the Spirit. Here's the cool thing about ministering in the Holy Spirit, ministering in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Who knows better than the Holy Spirit of who God is drawing right now? God is drawing people right now. Today God is drawing people. Who knows better than the Holy Spirit? When you and I minister in the realm of the Holy Spirit, we get a glimpse, we get a little hint of what God's doing. Perfect example, Book of Acts, Philip. The Holy Spirit tells Philip, is what it says in the passage. It speaks to Philip, shows Philip, I want you to go down to that road over there. He didn't give him any details. He didn't give him the full master plan. He didn't write it down. It wasn't like in his inbox, in his email. It wasn't a text message. It wasn't a download like that. It was simply, Philip, you love me. You're trying to minister in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. Listen to this. Go to that road over there. That's all I'm going to tell you. So Philip, out of obedience, he's willing to minister in the realm of the Holy Spirit. He goes down to this road outside the city. And as he's walking along, this Ethiopian guy from Africa comes riding along in a chariot. And he's up there with the scroll of Isaiah reading it out loud and can't figure it out. And you know, as Philip's walking along, he's like, wow, this is really cool. I can't believe God sent me here. And I can't believe this guy can't figure out the scroll. This is like a This is like a gift, you know? Sometimes God just has some fish jump in the boat for you, you know? And he's like, I can't even believe this. It's like, so he's like, hey, bud, do you know what you're reading up there? He's like, no, I'm struggling. I'm trying to read this. I can't figure it out. He's like, wow, want me to jump up there and help you out with that? I kind of understand that. Yeah, come on up. He jumps up in his chariot and he starts to break it down for him. He said, this is talking about Yahshua, Jesus. And by the way, he just came. He just came recently. And he died on the cross. And you probably heard it. He's like, yeah, I heard about that. That's the Messiah. The Messiah already came. The kingdom was already here. It's here and now. And you, sir, can enter into it today. He's like, what? The realm of God. Yeah, you can enter the realm and the reign of God through Jesus, Messiah, today. It's like, well, what's to stop me? So they pray, they pull the chariot over, and he gets baptized on the spot. This is ministering in the realm of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's pretty cool. God knows who he is drawing. Me and you, we don't know who he's drawing. But if we're willing to minister in the realm of the Holy Spirit, where we tune our ears, tune our hearts to the voice of God's Spirit, he will begin to show you who he's drawing. And that's really amazing, if you ask me. Step number seven is this. Here's the seventh point. The kingdom, it can be taught, but it really needs to be caught. The kingdom can be taught, but it really needs to be caught. The disciples were taught all about the kingdom for 3 years. But then Jesus had to take the training wheels off and say, go out there and practice it. Come back and tell me what you found. That's really making disciples, is when disciples not just learn it, but they roll up their sleeves and they actually start to practice this stuff. So they step out there and they begin to practice the kingdom of God. It's amazing. They go out there and they practice it. It can be taught, but it really needs to be caught. These guys came back and were like, okay, everything you taught us, now we're starting to get it. It's making sense because now we're replicating the kingdom. We're replicating what you told us. And it didn't stop. When Jesus ascended into heaven, they continued to replicate. It wasn't just taught, it was caught. And I don't know about you, but do you want to be known as people who were taught well or people who caught it well? Do you want to be known as people who were taught? I was taught very well the kingdom of God. I can tell you all about the kingdom. Or would you like to be known as somebody who caught the kingdom really well? Who caught it and gave it away? I would love on my tombstone, you know, Pastor B lived these years, did these things, caught the kingdom and gave it away. Wouldn't that be cool? Caught it and gave it away. Wouldn't that be awesome? The kingdom can be taught, but it really needs to be caught. And I believe it gets caught is when you step out in faith and begin to practice the kingdom. And then you realize, oh, it actually works. Jesus really does go with us. I'll be with you always till the end of the day. He really does go with you when you do this. And it's amazing. And the last one is this. And this is really key, and kind of what the kingdom's all about. Our aim is not to possess the kingdom. Our aim is to give it away. Our aim has never been to possess and hold on to and keep the kingdom. Our aim is to give it away. When you look at the church age, the church, through the history of the church, there's been interesting seasons. The early church was growing like wildfire. They were giving it away, even under persecution. And under Rome, everyone was told they need to convert starting tomorrow. It's official religion of Milan. Everyone convert. And when you do that, and kind of people have to, we stop the momentum of giving the kingdom away. It's kind of mandated that you're all in the kingdom. And then you look through history and Inquisition and some other things, you're like, wow, guys, the kingdom needs to be caught. When you do it like that, does anyone want to catch it? Does anyone see the love of Jesus in that? No, the kingdom has to be caught, and then it needs to be given away. And so it was never meant to be possessed. The church of Jesus Christ was never meant to be exclusive. The kingdom of God was meant to be inclusive. And of course, come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Come as you are. He loves you too much to leave you where you are. All of us, come as you are. Don't clean up. Don't get your life together. Don't try to figure it out or get better before you come. Just come. Just come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, he's the one that's like, fine, I'm going to work this out with you. We're going to start walking together. And you don't have to have it all down. Just turn and follow me, and we're going to walk this out on the journey. And it's a journey, and it's a beautiful one, because it's a realm where you and I are walking in the realm of God, the realm of the Holy Spirit. We're walking in the kingdom of God. We are living and walking in the kingdom of heaven. We get to carry it. We get to give it away.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. We pray that this message has blessed you. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit us at valleymetrochurch.com.